I love the United States. I love the United States. It's an amazing nation. And as we near Independence Day, I acknowledge that we are up to our neck in problems, big ones. Yet I don't think that we are beyond redemption. One of the key issues we need to address is refocusing on the collective good, which is at the crux of divisive politics, wealth disparity, and climate change, among others. And it's slow work. It is slow work. Now, you may wonder what that has to do with a rather difficult text that Jim just read from Matthew's gospel. There's quite a mix of things going on here. Jesus tells us that we have individual worth and that God knows even the number of hairs on our heads, which for some of us is a significantly lower number than it is for others. The next section seems bizarre because of Jesus's stance of nonviolence. Where does this, "I have come not to bring peace, but to bring a sword," come from? It draws on and echoes the prophet Micah, who encourages us not to put our ultimate faith in people, not even our families, but rather to invest our trust in God. What Jesus is talking about is reshaping our family ties in order to build a new community of his followers. Think about those first fishermen who were his disciples. Jesus tells them to leave their nets and to follow him. Now, that may sound like it's okay to you, but that was not easy. That wasn't easy for the fishermen, and it certainly wasn't either easy for the families that they left behind. How's that for supporting family values? You know, whenever one of our more conservative brethren trots out that phrase, family values, it makes me wonder if they've ever read the four Gospels and what Jesus has to say. What Jesus is doing is intentionally ripping the fabric of society. This is subversive, unpopular stuff. But as he deconstructs the family unit, he's putting something else together, putting something else in its place. Two chapters later in the gospel, as the crowd surrounds Jesus, his own mother and his brothers are trying to squeeze their way through to see him. And Jesus quips, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And pointing at his disciples, he says, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." This new family eventually becomes the church. We are the family of Jesus when we do our best to do the will of God. And the best way to judge the will of God for us is by looking at the words and the way of Jesus. Sometimes we refer to our church as a church family. Last week, Don and Sherry Bundy sent me an email with a really interesting link to an opinion piece in the New York Times. It was called What Churches Offer That Nuns, not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S, still long for. Nuns, by the way, are people who have no religious affiliation, and it's the fastest growing group in the country. One scholar surmises that among the nuns, one in five is an atheist who is pretty sure that God doesn't exist. One is an agnostic who questions the existence of God. And three are unaligned with any particular faith tradition, but think that there is a God somewhere out there. Clearly, that's a diverse group of people. And a key asset that churches, mosques, and synagogues offer is community. and then an age of detachment and isolation, it's more important than ever. In the article, one young man in his 20s tells the story of having lost his job. And so during prayers of the people in their congregation, he asks those there to pray for him during their prayers of the people. After the service was over, another member came up to him and said, "Son, if you need a job, you can come to work for me tomorrow." The journalist continues, "While that might sound like a scene from a Frank Capra movie, church really does wind up being one of the few places that people from different walks of life can interact with each other and help each other." And she continues, "I asked every sociologist I interviewed whether communities created around secular activities outside of houses of worship could give the same level of wraparound support that churches, temples, and mosques are able to offer. Nearly across the board, the answer was no. Intergenerational community, cross-generational community doesn't just happen. It has to be created. And then once it's created, it needs to be sustained. Faith communities that draw on multiple generations can do amazing cross-fertilization among their members. As you heard Brooklyn say a few weeks ago, teens who have older folks in their lives, older folks who know their names, tend to have a far easier road ahead than those who do not. And getting to know some of our teens might be a blessing to some of you who are elders and might be experiencing a sense of loneliness and isolation." Here's something the article's author misses. It takes work. It takes work to create and sustain community. It doesn't just happen. We have to be intentional about engaging and being involved. It takes each of us committing ourselves to be involved and tied into this community. A lot of that happens behind the scenes here. So you may not know that a member of your Plymouth family had to go over to Wilbur's and buy port for communion this morning, and that they had to go over to Whole Foods and buy bread, and that somebody actually needed to fill all of those little cups and prepare communion. Nobody just sort of waves a magic wand. I keep looking for the magic wand, haven't found it yet. You can't just make wave a magic wand and expect that to happen. You may wonder how our trees and shrubs get trimmed and how the windows in our building get washed, how the weeds in the lawn get pulled. Members make that happen. You may not realize that there are members of our congregation, faith nurses, community nurses, Stephen ministers, congregational visitors who add to the pastoral care provided by your two ministers. Perhaps you've wondered, who makes all the decisions that affect the congregation? And there are 6 boards as well as a leadership council who do that as volunteers. That takes time and commitment. It doesn't just happen. And there are so many more volunteers who make this congregation vital. And each one of them helps to create and sustain community. That investment of time and intention creates what Harvard sociologist Robert Putnam calls social capital in his book, Bowling Alone. How many of you might be interested in seeing that film just out of curiosity? Okay, all right, we'll be renting that and showing it here. Okay. I love the title of the film, Join or Die. It comes from that illustration that Benjamin Franklin published in the 1770s, showing a snake that had been hacked into bits as different states. And the idea is that the snake has to come back together, and it says join or die. So here's the rub. We've become a nation that has shifted so far toward radical individualism and independence that we've lost our communal compass. We don't know where the bearing is guiding our society. We forget that we are in this together. We've lost the thread of our interdependence that held together a disparate nation, sometimes in better ways than others. But Putnam asserts that we can turn the tables by leveraging our involvement in community organizations like churches. This is crucially important to our society. I'd like to go back to the scripture for today because it helps us understand why churches are a little bit different than the Lions Club or the Seroptimists or Kiwi or Kiwanis or soccer leagues or youth theater, all of which are great. The New York Times article states a soccer team can't provide spiritual solace in the face of death. It probably doesn't have a weekly charitable call, and there's no sense of connection to a heritage that goes back generations. It also really doesn't encourage us to take action for justice and peace and the integrity of creation. But there's something even deeper than that that the journalist doesn't quite capture. Church is different because we have formed and are forming a different type of community that exists because Jesus called us to become part of this new interdependent community that cares for one another, that cares for the widow and the orphan, the alien and the stranger. And we do that as an expression of our love for God. You know, one Sunday about 6 months ago, a young Palestinian man came into our church on a Sunday morning needing food, shelter, and guidance. And the very first thing that happened when he came in was that Brooklyn and Mike McBride made him a cappuccino. An even better start than offering a cold cup of water that Jesus mentions. Then Darwish talked with Jane Ann and a group of concerned folks who helped him get student housing, to work on an asylum application, to get him health care. And then they greeted his wife and son when they arrived from Jordan. And today, Darwish has been accepted into a PhD program at Colorado State in the College of Engineering. Nobody asked if Darwish was a Christian or if he had any interest in becoming one. Each person on Team Darwish acted from a sense of Christ-like compassion, and it changed his life. We're a community that has incredible potential to grow in our faith, in our commitments, and in our involvement, in our interdependence. Isn't that the kind of faith community that you want your kids and your grandchildren to be a part of? Don't we embrace the values and vision that you want your children and your grandchildren to inherit? We simply cannot do such things on our own. We need a strong, committed community to help all of us live into our Christian faith. Christian faith can't be done solo. It has to be practiced as an interdependent community that is bound together by covenant. Christianity is a team sport. Here's another secret. We can't do any of this without you. The magic only happens when we all pull together as a family of faith. All of us. If you want to be part of the movement, if you want to be more involved, we can help. We have a really easy to access online tool called Ministry Match, which links your desire to help with the places where it's needed. It takes less than 5 minutes to sign up and answer a few questions and enter your preferences. Okay, here comes the web address. PlymouthUCC.org/ministry match. If you haven't filled out the survey, please do that. So it's plymouthucc.org/ministry match. So even as we celebrate our nation's independence from Great Britain, I invite you to celebrate Interdependence Day here at Plymouth, right here, right now. Amen.